Listen up, Orange County. It's time to strip off your clothes, throw away your doubts and fears, and you get totally stark naked with the Stark Naked team. Those stark naked reality guys, Todd and Brad. Welcome.
Great to be here with you, Paul.
Okay. Oh, you know what? Let's turn your mic on here. Let's do that.
I like that.
I was going to do the whole show myself.
You guys trying to cut me out?
Jeez.
Todd, what do you think about
That's
that?
That's kind of harsh.
Move on.
Kind of a harsh approach to bumping me off the show, guys.
All right.
Well, I'm taking over the show today here. I feel pumped up.
I like it.
With everything you've learned over the past
That's
month.
That's right. Paul. I know it all now, boy.
Wait. Paul, you didn't share your snacks today. Did you fall backwards?
I brought, you know, I was going to swear there, but I was going to say, gosh darn it, you made me bring a peach today here. I mean, I don't have any Twinkies. I don't know if that's good or bad, but that's a step forward for me here.
That's 2 weeks in a row.
I don't have any beef jerky that's been dried 10 years ago or any of this other. What's the other one I like? What's the little rinds, the little pork rinds? Those
pork rinds.
Yeah, those got like nothing but.
You're looking 10 years younger though now, Paul.
Grease.
As a result of how cleanly you're eating.
On you.
I only look 80 now here.
Yeah. Yeah, not bad for a 50-year-old. Yeah.
Exactly.
All right. Well, hello to our peeps on the outside world. Welcome to our latest episode of Stark Naked Radio. I'm here with Todd, the jackass of fitness world, and I'm your co-host, Brad. Along with us is Paul Roberts, the
That's
man,
right.
the myth. The radio legend.
The cow.
But hey, we're here today to start bringing you guys some tips.
I feel education. Like a fat cow every time I live around you guys here.
You are looking better and better.
Not forever, Paul.
Okay, yeah. I like that.
Yeah. Well, hey, so we're going to bring you tips, education, all that good stuff to help you look better naked. Life is just better naked. So we're here to enhance that.
And Todd. Wear her naked.
You know what? And I will tell you the honest truth here. We're going to get stark into the stark honest truth here. When I was you guys' age, you guys are much younger than I am. I'm in my late 50s. You guys look like you're 12 or something here. But you look very young. But when I was, in my 20s, we couldn't wait to get naked in a hot tub. I went to a party over the weekend,
okay,
and
Paul.
There was a bunch of people like my age. Nobody wanted to get naked in the hot tub. I mean, nobody. There was none of that excitement. Like, hey, let's all get naked. No.
Paul,
no.
Are you an actual bona fide hippie?
I you know what? I really am. I was there. I was just.
Did you have a ponytail back in the 60s?
Oh, ponytail! I had it all. I had and my
wow,
wife.
That's funny. I can see that. Yeah.
My wife actually, she's a couple years older than I am. I was just like a couple years off the prime hippie years. My friend's older brother. Others went to Vietnam or went to the rallies and all that, because I was just a couple years behind it. But my wife was actually at Woodstock.
Wow.
The Woodstock. Cool. She drove up to Woodstock when.
Yeah.
So
me and Brad missed all that stuff.
Oh, I'm telling you, it was wild.
I missed it by a long shot.
Well, yeah.
Just saying in this room. Hey, you know what I was thinking the other day? We talk about how much better life is naked.
Yes.
My little girl loves to be naked. Remember how much fun it was to run around naked as a kid?
Yeah.
You watch your kids do it, too? Like, it's great.
But I'll tell you, since we're telling old stories from the old days, when I came out to Hollywood, I was a press agent in the 80s. So first I was a hippie, and then I was in that, you know, swinging 80s. The Rocks, what's the movie that was out a while ago, just with Tom Cruise or something? Where he's this, like, rock star on Hollywood.
Rock of Ages. I mean,
Rock
of Ages.
Great. I lived that era. I was there during all of that. We all had
Is that a good movie?
The hair bands
awesome.
And all that stuff.
My wife would disagree. She made me go by myself because it's a full-blown musical. But it was so cool.
Was it good?
Oh, they're playing all the great music from the 80s.
Yeah, exactly. Poison.
He was pretending to be one of the guys, the head singer from... oh my gosh, who was the big 80s band?
There was Poison, there was Rat, there was
No,
was it heavy metal?
Guns N' Roses. Axl Rose is who he is portraying, and he did awesome.
All right, I just passed this out that I was there. We're talking about being naked, so, and I was a press agent, and I handled a guy named a whole bunch of people that you wouldn't even remember anymore. Johnny Mathis, Jose Feliciano, all these people.
Wow.
And one of the celebrities that I was handling at the time was a guy who's since deceased, Edward Albert. He did a bunch of movies. His father was Eddie Albert, and he was a really, you know, good-looking, hip guy. Well, anyway, I got him in People magazine, and he was a hippie like me, and he had been on the road and been a drummer and all these crazy things. People magazine is doing an interview. People magazine, right? And his daughter, who was only 2 or 3, comes up to us. He had a he was one of these Malibu cowboys, so he had this ranch up overlooking the ocean. His daughter squats down, comes out totally naked, squats down in front of the reporter and pees.
Oh my God!
Now I'm the press agent. How are you supposed to cover that one? You know. And we all just go, isn't that cute? So, yeah, there was something very free about just being naked and just doing that kind of stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
But
perfect.
We've lost all that. Now nobody wants to get naked.
Everyone's hiding.
Maybe the streak will come back.
The streak. They streaked at my high school. Honest to God, when I was in high school, that was hot. So I hit all those trends. I was a hippie. I was a streaker. I was a Rock of Ages kind of guy. And now I'm just a fat, old... dumpy, baby boomer.
A little less fat, a little less dumpy today.
Yes.
I got to admit to you guys, I was a wuss streaker. My senior year of high school, the freshman little first day of school, their assembly, me and like 12 of my buddies streaked. We had our boxers.
That's not quite the streak, Brad.
We still got in a lot of trouble, but I classify that as a wuss streak.
I don't think I've ever streaked in my life.
Oh, you have to. You run through the gymnasium when they have the assembly.
Oh, my gosh.
Letting it fly. Woo. Walking the dog.
Paul, you're funny.
Wrestle the dragon.
That's right. Okay, let's tackle some present-day stark naked issues.
Yes. God, what's on the agenda?
Well, we're going to delve into the hormone insulin and its connection to how you look and feel.
Mm.
Our supplement of the day or week is going to be Ultra Metabolics.
Actually, Optimetabolics.
Optimetabolics.
I was going to correct you on that because I know better now.
Directly connected to insulin. And last but not least is our recipe of the week. We're going to talk about sea bass.
Okay.
Ooh.
So before we get into that, Brad, what is going on in your world?
Man, it's there's been a lot going on. Last week was the CrossFit Games.
Oh yeah, yeah, that's cool.
Yeah, that was really cool.
How did your client do? Didn't you have some woman that was in there?
We consulted with three of them, and they finished 1, 2, 3.
Oh, wow.
So Sam
Briggs. That's a big deal.
Yeah, wow. Sam Briggs. That was the one I called from the get-go. I hadn't seen any of them yet, and I said, I think this girl's... I picked her to win because I'd never seen anything like her.
So look to our fan page over the next week or so for our press release on that. You'll get some more information.
Some pictures?
As to what we exactly did.
We need some pictures on your Facebook fan page.
We can post pictures of them on the little podium thing.
Let's do that.
Yeah, there's a really cool picture of the three of them on the podium. So that was cool. I got my M-Wave in. And I've been playing with that. Really cool. M-Wave is by a company called Heart Math. It just helps you control your breathing and control your sympathetic, parasympathetic nervous system. That's been awesome.
Paul, where's your over-the-head sound?
I was going to say, wow, that's we're going to try the cowbell today here. Go back to my old days.
I need more cowbell. I love that Saturday Night skit.
So what was the heck? The Ultra Paula Bullies?
So it's called an M-Wave.
Yes.
And it's basically... taking care of the autonomic nervous system. So within the autonomic nervous system within our body, there's sympathetic and parasympathetic. Sympathetic is when we're in that fight or flight, where we're turned on, where the body is really cranking.
I thought it was sympathy, like, you know.
No, that's maybe what you're looking for when you're stuck and revved up there. But you're really revved up. Parasympathetic is on the opposite, is when you're not stressed, you're in recovery mode, you know, you're just chilled out, you can relax. And what happens is you kind of get... this day and age, we tend to be stuck in sympathetic overload. And so the M-Wave controls your breathing and actually shows as you start rolling via heart rate variability, which I don't know how to explain very well, but it brings that down, it brings you out of the sympathetic system. So it really chills you out. The first time I used it, I slept like I haven't slept in years. It was so good. But I've been doing it before.
So it does it for you, or is it
you? It just gives you a breathing rhythm to follow.
Yeah.
And it's really weird. If something kind of startles you or something, you'll see yourself shift back to the sympathetic system. Huh. It's pretty cool.
But how can you monitor yourself if you're sleeping?
Well, no, I did it for 20 minutes before I went to bed.
It's like a meditation aid, sort of?
It's like a meditation aid. You're watching this line and keeping up with this breathing in your line, or you're watching your computer screen and seeing how much... It has like three realms, like pure sympathetic realm, pure parasympathetic realm, and the kind of combination in between, right in the middle. You're trying to push your breathing into the parasympathetic realm, meaning your coherency is really chilled out and relaxed. It's really hard. And I've only been doing the easy stage, but it's really makes a difference. In
somehow trying to keep up with the machine makes me think of this. Well, I didn't even do it there. Let's play it here.
That was awkward.
I mean, I'm trying to breathe. Is that like, that's supposed to be like a...
Yeah, so what would you suppose is happening, hormonally speaking, to you when you get your breathing in order? Like, are you trying to influence your cortisol levels or when what's...
Yeah, it's bringing you out of a stressed state. It's the same thing as meditation. It's just a control. Most people can't focus on anything when they're meditating, so they actually never... So it's basically like taking a 4-second breath in, a 4-second breath out.
Holding it, yeah.
And then I learned that while you're doing this, you think about something that makes you happy.
Hmm.
So I think about my straight up dance offs with
me.
My, yeah. No. I think of my straight up dance offs with
Todd?
My
partnership.
Like, you know, oh my goodness. I'm so happy.
Todd, yes, you're so wonderful.
I'm so blessed. Yeah.
That tone of voice makes me very uncomfortable.
Why is my M-Wave screaming red right now? No, so I think about my little girl on a little dance-offs, and boy, it really does a great job of mellowing you out.
So how often are you supposed to use this thing?
I think you can use it as often as you want. I've been doing it on my car ride. I did it on my car ride, and I got cut off.
Like, what do you do? Put your thumb on it or something? Or?
No, you just attach it to your ear.
Put your what on it?
Or? you attach it to your ear, and it's all based off your heart rate.
Huh.
So I was driving, and some lady, idiot, cut me off, and boom,
that
spiked
idiot.
Right
that
up. Yeah, idiot. I think I threw that in there. They're all idiots out there except for me.
Really?
Well, Todd, maybe when you two are out there, it's pretty good, too, but...
So it spiked, and then what did you do? You brought your breath back in control?
But I could, like, really feel how just kind of, like, the startledness is really affecting my internal environment.
Huh.
So it's pretty cool. I'm excited about it. It's really something I think that everybody should use. I realize now how hard it is to bring ourselves out of that stressed state, and it really takes some serious focus to do it.
I'll make sure to stick some information on that on our show notes so people can...
Yeah, well, I think we should put a link up there. Anybody wants it? I've heard some experts talk about it, and boy, I really like it. I'm still learning, you know, challenging ways to use it and how to really get the most out of it. But so far, I'm 100% fan.
Well, I hate to admit it that when I was younger, still sometimes, I get kind of claustrophobic.
Mm-hmm.
And when I'm on an airplane for a long ride, I get this urge like, I got to get off. I got to get off. And it's like, wait a minute, you can't get off. What do you mean I can't get off? I got to get off. And I have had to kind of do that without any, you know, to slow your breath down and to, because I went to a therapist and I said, this is crazy. I feel like I'm going to jump off the plane or something here. And you get this kind of panic attack. And she said the same kind of thing, but without any guided aid, you know, force your breath to go slower and put yourself in some happy place, wherever that is.
Yeah. It was funny. I had a meeting with Dr. J and this really successful, well-known performance psychologist.
He's one of our peeps at Stark, Dr. J, by the way.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. He's our director of medical world over there, whatever that's called. And I just got my N-Wave. I'm like, well, this is, I'm either going to learn real quick that this is a stupid purchase or a really smart purchase. So I walked right into the meeting with my box.
Mm-hmm.
And he immediately
was like...
trying to
play panic sounds here, but go ahead.
He was immediately...
sound very panicky.
Oh, you got your N-Wave. That's awesome.
Yeah.
I've been using it for 20 years. I'm like, how you been using this thing for 20 years? I just learned about it.
Well, I thought it was new.
Yeah, it's not. He's been using it forever, so...
It originated in Russia or something like that with some Russian athletic trainer guy or something, or physiologist. Does that ring a bell at all? I think the technology's fairly old.
Is it big? Is it little? Is it a little radio or something? Or not radio. Nobody even has little radios. What would it be? A phone or something?
Yeah, it's like a transistor radio, Paul. Like the one that you used to streak with.
They have apps for certain iPhones, but it's even smaller than an iPhone. I think you're thinking of the HRV technique
that
was created for the Russian cosmonauts.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Yeah, because that's looking at sympathetic, parasympathetic recovery. You can tell how much load you can handle from a workout and stuff.
Hmm.
I've been playing with that as well. Joel Jameson has a really cool system out that I'm playing with.
Hmm.
Yeah, that's what's up on my side.
Well, we also had your 7 Executive Sins talk on Saturday. We taped it, which is pretty cool. You guys will be able to see... at some point in the near future, a trailer that we're creating from the full
talk.
What
a cool sounding name. 7 Executive Sins. Doesn't everybody want to hear about sin here?
That's why we said it that. That's why we called it that. Said it that.
Yeah, Brad showed up all dressed Dapper. Up in his suit and hair combed. Did you shave? Did you even shave?
Yeah.
Wow. You shave.
Well, wow. I shaved like I shaved this morning. Like,
oh, like you just buzzed it down a little bit?
Yeah.
Okay.
They're making fun of me looking like a schoolboy. So if I cut it down even farther, I'm going to look really like a schoolboy. I may not be allowed to
act up, Brad, like me.
Yes, right, exactly. Come on. You're in the big time now.
I got to have that little gray patch on my chin to show my wisdom.
I got a question for you. You had a tie on.
Yeah.
Did you... When you take the tie off, do you leave it tied? You leave the knot in there?
I am a tie tying expert.
You are?
No, are you really?
Do you actually tie
it yourself?
Do you do the Windsor knot, or are you...
The double Windsor double is what Windsor. I had somebody do
the
for
triple
me.
Windsor.
I had a good friend, Jesse, double do the double Windsor for me, and no, I do not untie them when I take them off.
Why? Just, I always wondered why you would tie a tie. After you've got it tied once, why would you untie it?
Why mess with perfection? You know, it's not broken. Don't fix it.
That is a good point. I never thought of that.
I did have to help you with your tie, if you remember, though. It was a little bit funky, and I felt a little uncomfortable.
We kind of had a moment there, didn't we?
We did have a moment, yeah.
Sweet. That was sweet.
Well, on my end, I recently hit rock bottom, or maybe just came down a couple of notches. A month ago, I took a week off of training, which is, per your guidance, taking some time off every 90 days, right?
Yeah, every 12 weeks. That's kind of a common... One thing most strength coaches agree upon.
So you hit it hard for 3 months or so, and then you take a week off. Hit it hard for 3 months, take a week off. So anyway, when I came off of that week, I had a little tore in my calf, which I think we even talked briefly about a couple weeks ago, which set me back another week. And then I started a new workout, and halfway through that first day, I had a severe headache, had to get my neck adjusted a couple times.
Wow.
Which is kind of scary, and then proceeded to take the next 2 weeks off until those headaches went away. All in all, it's been a month without doing any exercise whatsoever, which is probably the longest time I've gone, at least in the few years since I've been at Stark.
You mean you can go a whole month and exercise?
No exercise.
Oh, I'm trying to picture a whole month.
That's funny. Yeah, believe it or not, Paul, you can actually use your body.
Oh, my God, for a whole month?
Rather than just sitting around thinking about the old days when you used to streak. So anyway, here's what happened. I stopped eating perfectly. You know, when you kind of stop taking care of yourself from an exercise standpoint, at least I find it very difficult to do the rest of the thing, which is, of course, to eat properly. I mean, you're kind of like, I'm not working out, so whatever. You kind of blew it up. So last Saturday, I blew it up with sushi and ice cream afterwards with the family because it had been so long since I was actually doing anything positive with my body, and I eat out from time to time, but I typically am pretty religious about not eating gluten, which is kind of hard in a sushi restaurant. This time I had all...
Do they have lots of gluten?
Oh, yeah. I mean, you've got things like tempura, that kind of stuff rolled into stuff, or you've got, you know, full-on tempura plates, and you've got all
I don't know why I wasn't thinking of that.
Soy sauce uses wheat as a thickener, so it's in a lot of stuff there, pretty much everything.
Yeah.
You have to kind of avoid all the sauces at a sushi restaurant if you want to be gluten-free. Okay. So, you know, I try to avoid those things. You get some of it, you know, a little bit here and there. But this time I went all out. I had all the good, delicious, crunchy stuff, you know, and the real soy sauce. And then afterwards, cookies and cream ice cream.
Dope!
Yeah, I know. I had a typical food hangover. This stuff literally gives me a food hangover the next day. I mean, I feel like I was drinking. Out drinking.
Really?
I know, it sounds strange, but when you go without for so long, the contrast is just, it's stark.
it's stark
contrast.
Right.
So on Tuesday night, there was this rare combination of big waves and big wind, so I went kite surfing, and I got out because I love it, first of all, but you were talking about how doing things that you enjoy and make you happy are important to good work performance, right? You talked about that on Saturday. Can you kind of interject on that? I can't remember exactly what you said or why you said that was so important.
Yeah, I've been doing a lot of research on like happiness and things like that. And there's a lot of research that shows if you are happy, you perform better.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things they've found that makes people happy is playing. Playtime was very, like in primal time, playtime was big. It still is today. Competition is great for men and their testosterone. Men playing with their small children has been shown to boost testosterone. Hmm. So playtime, in my opinion, and this is my opinion, I know that when I have something to go play and I'm just locked in and not thinking about life and checked out, my stress is way better. So I don't have like any hardcore science.
For me, it's very simple.
I like turtles.
That's all
that
I have
so
to think of.
So awesome and bizarre. That was weird.
So, yeah, I'm finding with the... You know,
that's just me. But
yeah,
no.
I'm finding the books I'm reading about happiness talk about it. Our clients that are good at playing just tend to be happier and handle stress better. So I'm a big fan of it.
Examples of playing like tennis and golf and things like that, or surfing.
It can be that, or it can be playing tag with your kids, or...
Playing with your turtles.
Right? Playing with your turtles, playing, you know, it could be anything that is just fun.
Brad didn't catch that. Yeah. I mean, when I get home after a long, hard day at work, I take the turtles out and I play with them. I do.
I juggle them. I do lots of fun things with them.
That works too. I mean, if that was float your boat, have at it.
I think turtles are delicious. Have you had turtle soup?
Oh my God.
Wrong recipe. We'll talk about that some other time.
No. I think the biggest thing is that this stuff, it just disconnects us from our source of stress, our cell phones, our emails, you know, people hounding us. We're just out having fun. It does not have to be competitive. Competitiveness can be stressful as well, but there is just some positive research with elevated testosterone levels. I like it to be predetermined outcome stuff. Like, you're not, like, you know, when you're a kid, you just go out and start making things up and playing with, and there's no predetermined outcome. That's the best source of play.
Oh, you touched my tala.
Like that kind of?
Yeah, that kind of playing? No.
That works too.
That was back in the 80s. Okay.
I'm sure that'll bring stress.
Is that Barry White?
I don't know who that is.
That's funny. Well, this particular day was one of those just absolutely few epic days of the year out on the water. It was. It just, I mean, that's the big surfer dude, you know.
Yeah, they make
term.
Fun of me. They make fun of me when we're training them. I'm trying to act like I
And
know
you kite surf? That seems like incredibly cool to do.
It is so cool. I mean, of course, it's cool in my own head. I probably look like I'm in the circus, you know, for everybody on the beach. But the water was a bit colder than it usually is this time of the year, so it kept the peeps out. No little kids frolicking in the waves to dodge.
Bang!
So I mean, it was just a beautiful evening. Was carving across big waves and big sweeping motions. Usually, I have to, you know, look right and left to make sure I'm not about to run into somebody,
decapitate somebody.
Yeah,
right.
The only other people in the water were two other kite surfers. There weren't even any surfers, so it was kind of a strange evening. But as I was heading back out, a big wave started to crest, just carved a little into it. When you do that, you catch huge air off the top. I mean, the bigger the wave, the more air you can catch, the faster you're moving and all that kind of stuff.
Okay.
So I was floating over another kite surfer who kind of looked up at me with a sideways smile. He's got this goatee that's so long it kind of like flows with the wind.
Yeah.
Gave me the universal... Hang loose sign with his hand. And right at the peak of my airtime, I would normally have enthusiastically, kind of geekishly thrown it back at him, you know, hang loose, bro, with a stupid look on my face.
Yeah,
instead, I kind of gave him the, you know, that chin that dudes give to one another. Like,
just raise it up a second. Yeah, right.
So I did that. And I thought to myself, what's my problem? and wait. I said to myself with the wind howling in my ears. I actually realized at that moment I had a mild headache, aches and pains all over, tired, bloodshot eyes, minor sore throat, sneezing, the whole thing. I just didn't quite feel right, and it kind of slapped
me. That sounds like yesterday to me.
For you?
Yeah.
Yeah? Well, so...
Sounds like every morning I
So I realized, while I'm up there, damn, I'm sick up here. And I've heard you talk about how... This ties back to the sushi restaurant, cookies and cream, ice cream and stuff. I've heard you talk about how your immune system is primarily in your gut, and your gut gets all screwed up by poor digestion.
Your immune system is in your stomach. I never heard that before.
Stomach or gut? Well, your digestive system, right?
Yeah.
Majority of the immune system.
That was like
is...
a little insight.
Yeah.
A little
ping. And I just wanted to find out if you think there's any correlation between that, you know, eating poorly and me not being able to fight off, you know, some little virus.
Honestly, I think it's more of like everything that's gone on for the last month. You know, you've had the neck issues, you tore your cat, you've had all these stressful scenarios. Anytime you get hurt, it's very stressful. You had a stressful meal because you blew it up. It sounds like you weren't eating perfect the last month, so all those foods in your system can create some stress. You're out in the water. That's pretty intense. It's cold, so that could be causing more stress. And stress and the immune system kind of go hand in hand. So if you've been highly stressed for a long period of time, it's going to hamper your immune system, and eventually it's going to catch you. So I would probably guess it to be more just an overload of stress over a period of time, and maybe that just blow-it-up meal of all the foods you're sensitive to. That when you eat a food you're sensitive to, it's like your kryptonite, so it just crushes your system.
And I pretty much ate everything on my MRT list.
Yeah,
it's kind of funny.
Yeah, so you just high-dosed your body in a short period of time with a serious amount of stress, which then will affect you for a couple of days. Mm-hmm. So that's what I would probably pertain it to?
So strategically, I mean, most people are aware when they're under higher stress, you know, maybe it's a work-related thing or something with their teenage daughter mm-hmm. or whatever. Is there anything that you should do relative to strengthening your immune system when you know you're in that situation and likely you, or not likely, but it's possible that you're more likely to get sick as a result?
Here's what I do when I feel stressed. Takes care of it every time.
Yeah, it'll knock you right out. Yeah, so vitamin C is a really big one. I mean, obviously, vitamin C, but it helps bring down cortisol, helps detoxify cortisol out the body, so cortisol is not as intense in your system. Magnesium is great because it calms down your system. Hmm. I really like holy basil.
Holy basil.
What is holy basil?
Holy basil.
Does it actually come from basil? Like the basil leaf?
I don't know.
Is it blessed by St. Basil or no?
I'm not quite. I don't know. I should know. I don't know where it comes from for sure. But it's a really nice, really helps the body fight off stress and cortisol. It's great at night before you go to, after dinner, before bed.
You just eat it like?
Oh, that's a supplement.
Okay. Holy basil is a supplement.
Yeah. And then right. I'm a big fan of doing probiotics. You know, you want to re-strengthen mm-hmm. the gut because that can get off. I'm also a big fan of what's known as immunoglobulins. We carry a product called, I'm blanking on the name right now.
You get a cowbell for that.
Which one?
Or not knowing.
I didn't do it. Yeah. Immune Supreme is what it's called. Is that right? No.
Are you talking about the thing that tastes like cherry?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
GI Protect.
GI Protect.
That's your favorite supplement, Brad. What
not
are you
even
losing
close.
It? You're losing it.
Come on.
So when I feel like I'm starting to get sick, I will pound that. The immunoglobulins have been shown to really strengthen the immune system really well and help with the gut. So that's my favorite product. When I start feeling like I'm getting sick, I will take 2 servings of that and then, you know, right out the gate and like a serving every 2 hours for like 2 days.
Hmm. And last time you said zinc is... No big deal. That's the one they advertise if you start feeling sick or cold or something.
I was looking at that. There's not a lot of human study proving that that really helps.
That's right.
Kind of a little, maybe that might be one of those wives' tales they're talking about.
Hmm. All right. Well, that sounds good. I'm happy to say that I trained for the first time yesterday after a month. I had the dumbest thought in my head when I was done.
Uh-oh.
I sat there huffing and puffing, kind of sweaty, and I thought to myself, I feel great. Exercise makes me feel great. I just thought, wow, what an idiot I am to actually have that thought. Isn't that funny?
I can't believe you just expressed that on it.
I know. I'm sorry. I shouldn't have said that in
front
of anybody.
That was awesome.
It's like when they see these women on commercials and they say, hey, Madge, you really look well. That's because I do use Ultra Bright or something. Here, you know, feeling good today.
Yeah. So anyway, I'm happy to be back in it. I can hardly move today, of course. Halfway through some ab exercises, I actually started feeling sore in the middle of the exercise. Mm-hmm. You know that's a bad sign.
Yeah.
You know that's a bad sign. So anyway, I have one more question about training and recovery.
And then we got to go to commercial. Go
yes. Can you explain why very lean people need to add a lot of sugar to their post-workout shake?
Yeah, but I have one question for you first.
Oh, no.
Here it is. Here comes
the
joke.
Look on your face.
Wait
like
a second. Let's get the rim shot here. Okay. Go ahead.
I know you were really focused on growing your legs.
Yeah.
Oh,
yes.
What's been the outcome with a month of no legs?
I'm going to bury my head
longer.
In the sand. I'm not going to. Okay. Well, maybe I'll have a measure to see. But I'm.
Do they get longer?
I'm just dreading it.
Do they get bigger?
Yeah, I'm taller. I've grown.
I know. Yeah.
Well, yeah. When you're not squatting, you actually get taller. So.
Yeah. No. I've lost. I know I've lost a couple pounds in the scale, and I know I'm chubbier. So I'm pretty sure that exactly. Pretty sure I've lost some of my gains on my quads. I'm not very happy about that. But thanks for bringing it up, Brad.
Okay.
Thankfully, there's just a few listeners.
I just wanted to know. That's one thing that my buddies ask. How are Todd's legs? What's Todd's
legs?
Doing? What is he
What's
doing?
What's going
with
on
his
with
legs?
His legs?
Funny.
Are they really growing?
Have you
All
heard
right.
from about his legs?
Well, okay, I'll get a measure. We can talk about it next week. Thanks.
Okay, perfect.
I'm concerned about
Thanks
his legs.
In regards to lean people and eating carbs, we're just trying to replenish muscle glycogen.
Well, I missed my thing here. Glucohacobin? What?
Muscle glycogen. Carbohydrates turn into glycogen and they replenish. That's what the muscles first burn off of when you're training intensely.
And your liver produces that, right?
Yeah, there's liver glycogen and also muscle glycogen. So you want to replenish both of those because those both tend to get depleted while you train.
Okay.
There's some discrepancy as to how much, but when somebody's really lean, they're very insulin sensitive. And after they've trained, they've depleted their muscle glycogen from their muscle. Now it's going to want to be refueled. Same thing with the liver. So you put a bunch of carbs in, and it'll actually refuel that very quickly. We don't usually those people who are trying to, you know, grow muscle mass and things like that. Uh-huh. So that's what that's when we'll use sugar, is trying to help somebody put muscle mass on.
Does it cause stress to your body if you are that lean person that just trained and you don't intake sugar because your liver has to? I mean, that's got to be a pretty important thing to your body, right?
Yeah.
To replenish it. If you're not putting it in, does it have to struggle to try to make it on its own?
No. You can use things like glutamine and things like that. You don't have to do it. Like, if your goal is just to be lean, and, like, we don't really put much sugar into women's shakes and things like that. If the goal is just to be lean and look good and you don't want to put muscle mass on, you don't need it. I mean, you definitely don't want to go no carb, low carb for a long time. We've seen, you know, the aftermath of what happens when people do
that. So you just take a little packet of white sugar and pour it right in there?
No. We're using a mix of maltodextrin, dextrose, and what's the other sugar that we use? The one for the heart?
Ribose.
So
I couldn't get any of those,
Those are just different types of sugar. We use all the different sugars except for fructose, because fructose is processed in the liver. So,
and fructose is what comes from fruit, though. I thought that
comes from your peach.
Yeah,
my little peach there. Eat a peach.
So that's why.
The Allman Brothers.
Yeah.
Okay.
You don't want to overload the liver too much with too much fructose. So
that one went over most of the heads.
I caught that.
Here. Okay.
Yeah.
That was their last album, called Eat a Peach, because one of the Allman Brothers got hit on a motorcycle by supposedly a truck carrying a load of peaches.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, so they called it Eat a Peach. That's what they did on their last album. Go ahead.
Perfect.
I'll have to explain who the Allman Brothers are to the rest of you.
So in my opinion, really, people who are really lean and train a lot, they need carbs every day in their diet. If your goal is to put muscle mass on, you need a lot more. If your goal is to maintain leanness, I would use more low glycemic carbs throughout the day after you've worked out late in the day versus the high dose right out the gate.
Let's take a break, and then we'll come back and talk about sea bass.
Okay. You're swimming with the sharks today, boy. Talking about getting stark naked. The reality of how to train and feel better.
Stuff to the left, got enough stuff, but I can't take a step. So I smart stopped and took a minute to think. I need a little better spot, not under the sink. With smart stop, I leave the stress at the door, because it's the smarter way to store.
Smart stop bucks the system. Your first month's rent is just a buck. Your next 3 months are half off. Call 888-97-STORAGE and mention this station.
Goodbye clutter, hello floors. Smart stop, the smarter way to store.
Do you want a free analysis of your inbound marketing? Do you want it in 30 seconds or less? Then check out Marketing Grader, the free marketing tool from HubSpot. It's simple. Just go to marketinggrader.com, enter the URL that you want to analyze, and Marketing Grader will instantly give you a detailed report grading your lead generation, mobile marketing, social media, competitive benchmarking, and more. It's simple, it's powerful, and it's free. MarketingGrader.com.
We give you just enough time to get your sanity back in order here. And then the insanity starts with the original Stark Naked guys telling you the stark naked reality of what you should put into your body. And fructose is bad. Okay. That peach, throw that peach
out. Hey, real quick, I got a comment on the shark thing.
Yes.
So my little girl has decided that there are sharks in our pool.
Ooh. Yeah.
And our pool is cold. So guess who has to go in first before she will get in? Make sure there are no sharks. I'm like, honey, there's six other people in the pool. There's no sharks. You need to go in and check, Daddy.
Is your pool that deep that you can't see the bottom of it?
You can totally see it. And I've tried to convince her that sharks can't survive in chlorinated water, and she just is not buying it.
I'll have to ask her about that next time I see her.
Isn't that a shark?
Right.
Just when you walk over, is that a shark?
All right. We're going to move on to the recipe segment. We're going to talk about sea bass.
Okay.
There are a bunch of different variations of sea bass. You're all familiar with the common Chilean sea bass that you see in a restaurant. It's absolutely delicious. By the way, I believe that's a fancy name for the Patagonian toothfish. I don't think it's technically a bass, but I don't know that for sure. Regardless, this particular sea bass is on the verge of extinction. You probably have all heard about that as well. Yeah. It's been highly publicized.
Overfished.
Yeah, overfished. They've got long lives where they grow very slowly. They don't reproduce quickly, which I think is why the overfishing is so prevalent. Plus they fish in with that long line method or whatever. They drag the nets across the bottom
and scoop everything.
Anyway, it's damaging.
Including turtles.
Including little cute turtles I would otherwise play with. But from a health standpoint, they're also quite high in mercury, and I'm assuming that's because they live so long.
They
accumulate it. Yep. Yeah. So I avoid that particular fish on that point alone. Hmm. But there are a lot of other varieties to choose from.
If I see sea bass. What I do.
So overall, the fish is light, flaky, kind of buttery flavored fish, Brad. You got to try it sometime. And like other protein sources, it's just packed full of nutrients. It's a fairly lean source of protein. A 7-ounce serving has just under 50 grams of protein, by the way. It's also high in vitamin B6, magnesium, phosphorus, and selenium. Selenium, as an aside, is present in many different foods. It plays a role in DNA repair, helps with your endocrine and immune systems, also has some pretty heavy-duty antioxidant properties, and may help in some cancer prevention.
Hmm. Selenium.
It's also found in high concentrations in organ meats and seafoods. I think I'll stick with the seafood. I don't know about you guys, but
organ meats,
I'm not too,
sounds disgusting
too into organ meats.
No.
You can also eat too much of it. I think that the Brazil nut has a shitload of it.
That's it's the truth. We had a client once that get incredible flu-like symptoms.
Yeah.
Like, what have you been doing? He's like, I love Brazil nuts. I've been just cranking on them.
You're kidding. He got the flu from me, or felt like he had the flu from eating Brazil nuts.
Now, if you have too much selenium in your system, I believe your hair falls out and your nails get all brittle and stuff. It's not a good look. Don't recommend it.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, you won't be a stark naked charity contestant anytime soon if you've got too much selenium.
It's also real important for heavy metal detoxification.
Oh, I didn't know that.
I only know that because my doctor put me
so
on
it. So if you eat sea bass full of mercury and it's got lots of selenium, it should balance each other out.
Yeah, good.
So anyway, there's a great recipe that we've barely adapted from a chef by the name of, I think you pronounce her name, Giada De Laurentiis. She's on the Food Network all the time.
Oh, yeah.
I'm talking about? She's like a little Italian lady.
Yeah, and she does...
Cute little Italian lady.
Right. She does like... wow, what's the name of that show? I forgot it or something. Yes.
Italian something or other.
Right.
The recipe is ginger sea bass over wilted greens. Most sea bass recipes tend to have a lot of...
As my daughter would say, that sounds so gay. I mean, over wilted sea bass. Or what was it?
Not wilted sea bass. No, you want fresh sea bass. Over wilted greens.
What's a wilted green?
You know, it's like steamed.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. We'll get to that in a second. Paul, you're stealing my thumber.
Okay.
My thumber. So most sea bass recipes tend to have, if you get it at a restaurant, you're probably going to get a lot of sugar and soy in it. Just an FYI. You can taste it if you're paying attention. This is the only one I've seen in quite a while that doesn't have sugar in it. Ginger, sugar, soy sauce, great combination. Ask the Japanese. Almost everything that they make has got plenty of that stuff in it. Hmm. So this particular recipe is pretty cool. It's simple.
I don't know what that came from.
That's a donkey.
I know.
Not a sea bass.
I thought that was a sea bass there. Go ahead.
The recipe's fairly simple.
Have you ever heard of sea bass? It could be.
They bark, I believe.
Okay.
Clean up with this one is no big deal as well, which is important to me. You basically make these little foil packets. Throw all the ingredients in, wrap it up, drop it in the oven, and 10 minutes later, you've got a complete meal. It's pretty cool. The recipe calls for fresh ginger, which I love, sesame oil, which is absolutely delicious. It immediately adds kind of an Asian flair to your situation, and it's got fresh basil and lime. So you've got a pretty fresh, complex deal in every bite.
Have you ever had, they do this in New Orleans, they take, it's a French way to do it, and they take a piece of paper, like butcher paper, and they steam the fish within that, they seal it, and then they put it in, I guess, something.
Yeah, it's like it's parchment paper.
Parchment paper.
Yeah.
And then
this is sort of the same kind of deal. It seals in all the moisture. So
wonderful.
It basically steams the fish, which is why it cooks in just 10 minutes.
Right.
But anyway, the whole thing is laid over a bed of spinach. within that little packet. Mm-hmm. Spinach is one of my favorite leafy greens. It's packed full of vitamins and minerals. It's the perfect lunch on a weekend. Obviously, nobody's going to cook like this during the
week. And is it true that if you cook spinach, it gets worse? You cook out some of that stuff, or is that just another
myth? Oh, boy. There's something about spinach I believe that you get more benefit of or from when you cook it or you steam it, not less.
Oh, the opposite.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. But, we can check into that.
All right.
It's also, if you cut the sesame oil in half and throw in some white rice, it's an awesome macronutrient timing type dinner because it's low fat, moderate carb. It's a great way to end your day. And you can find it on our website at www.starktraining.com. I'll also add the link to our show notes, and you'll be able to find it that way.
Well, it sounds better than kangaroo meat or whatever else you were talking about last
which
night.
We just had some of that, by the way. Believe it or not, we did. We were just talking about that, and we had it for the family. The whole family ate it.
Sea bass sounds a little more sensible. Go ahead.
It's our gator that we used to get.
Oh, gator?
Yeah. We'll talk about that at some point. Yeah. Got to get my buddy Jesse, who's from Louisiana, talk about gator. How to catch him, and then how to cook it. If we can understand him. It will be very easy. He's a colorful person.
Get that Cajun accent here.
Yeah, yeah, right? He's cool.
Should we take one more commercial break and then come back?
Yeah.
All right, let's take a break and we'll be right back as we talk about did we do the supplement of the week? Is that next?
We're gonna actually get into insulin.
Okay. Stick around. We're going to stick it to you with some more insulin discussions here. Right after this, you're listening to Stark Naked Radio.
When you use the Premier Rewards Gold Card from American Express, the rewards points can keep on multiplying. By 3 with triple points on airfare, by 2 with double points on gas and groceries, and a single point for pretty much every other dollar you spend on the card. Then, start choosing from over a million rewards to redeem all those points. Apply today and the annual fee for the first year is on us. Call 1-800-AXP-GOLD or visit axpgold.com. The annual fee for the card is $175. See terms, conditions, and restrictions at axpgold.com.
This is the sound of a flat-screen television hurled off a building. Now the new bike your kid wants. These are the things you could have all cast into oblivion. Because when you throw away money on wasted electricity, you throw away everything you could have bought with it. Use Energy Star light bulbs and appliances, and you could save hundreds of dollars a year. Saving energy saves you money. Learn more at energysavers.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Energy and the Ad Council.
Okay, pull out your needles. We're going into insulin.
Fire up your needles.
That's right.
I
always keep my needle with me. I don't like to share either.
Also, another throwback from the 60s, right?
That's right.
Okay. Bradley, let's talk about insulin.
All right. Well, so we'll start with our supplement. And we are big fans of OptiMetabolics. It's actually a shake. We've really had a lot of success with.
I don't think I've ever tried it. Is it tasty?
It's actually pretty good. It's my favorite one to take. But why we like it is because it helps stabilize blood sugar, stabilizes insulin real well. And one of the biggest successes I've had with it is Brendan Steele, our golfer. He always drinks a shake on the turn. He always has a really strong back nine. They call it a super shake. So
he has in the middle of his game somewhere there?
Yeah, to stabilize blood sugar. As guys get hungry, as you get hungry and your blood sugar starts to drop, you lose your focus because you start to get hungry and you think about food.
I want to know what these super shakes do though to the area down south here. Does that help? No,
I'm not talking about shaking.
You shake it more than once. Go
so
ahead.
when you're managing your blood sugar or your insulin, you're talking about managing eating something that doesn't cause a big spike?
I think I shook you up with that one. Go ahead.
Yes. You're trying to stabilize blood sugar so it doesn't spike or crash. If you go a long period without eating, blood sugar can crash, and then you just become obsessively hungry, and you want bad foods, and it can be really distracting. And when you're in a high-focused environment like playing golf with millions of people watching and a lot of money on the line, it's very important not to. And what kills me is I've been out there on the course with them, and I'm watching guys put like peanut butter and jelly sandwiches in their bags, and it's a messed up world in regards to how golfers control themselves.
But wait a minute. Now you're going to take on peanut butter and jelly? I live on peanut butter and jelly.
Yeah, Smucker's, the
the good stuff.
Package. Yeah. Like, I'm like, I can't believe I just watched that guy dump those in his bag. And Brennan's like, It's a pretty big deal. A lot of guys do it. They all swear by it. I'm like, that's crazy.
They swear by peanut butter and jelly sandwiches.
Yeah, I mean, you're talking, I watch guys smoke in the middle of their rounds. Like, whatever.
That's right. We are talking about golf.
Yeah. What other professional sport has guys smoking in the middle of a competition? So I'm
baseball. Picture the guy on the mound with a stogie or something. All right, throw that right down here. Come on.
Yeah. So Optimetabolic is pretty cool. It has this new, it's kind of the new age, next generation of carbohydrate control. They call it C2, and it's brown seaweed. Basically, what that does is it slows down carbohydrate digestion and assimilation, so it reduces the impact of high glycemic foods. So if some, for instance, you could use if somebody has a high carb meal, you could actually have them take that, and it'll slow down the insulin response. But we like to do it more to stabilize blood sugar. It also has things like really potent cinnamon extract in it called Sinsulin. It's a 10-to-1 ratio.
Ooh, he said sin again. Go ahead.
Sin.
Yeah, lower your voice when you say that.
Yeah.
Sin. Sinsulin.
I need to go on to speak a bunch, and then it'll sound really good.
The seven sins.
The seven sins. The seven deadly sins.
So cinnamon has actually been shown to be a great, healthy glucose uptake support. It helps with glycogen synthesis, insulin action. And it also helps maintain blood lipids.
It also helps crank up your libido.
Yeah, let's get the zipper again here.
It does. Isn't that right?
I don't know about that. So I just know cinnamon's a really nice. You can put cinnamon on your food and it really helps.
Can I tell you something interesting here? I actually do know something interesting once in a while. We had a gentleman on one of our other shows from the Alzheimer's Association. And somebody asked him, is there anything you can do to prevent the onset of Alzheimer's? And he said, well, this can sound silly, but some of our research suggests, let's get the rim shot there. Where's the rim shot? Oh, I can't do it fast enough here in talk. There we go. Cinnamon. He said, if you take cinnamon, that can help offset Alzheimer's, they think.
Yeah, it's kind of becoming one of the ultimate power foods we can take in. There's a lot of positivity to it. So the Optimetabolics has the cinnamon in it. It's made with what's called Vega Pro. It's a low allergy potential source of vegetable protein.
I used to be a Vegas Pro.
Yeah, so it's pea protein and rice protein. So, for instance, Brendan was very whey sensitive. It wouldn't disrupt his stomach. It also has things like green tea, leaf extract, chromium, things like that. All things that have been shown to help aid in insulin sensitivity and blood sugar management. So it's a nice tool. So if somebody's hypoglycemic, it's a really nice tool that we take in between meals to keep their blood sugar from crashing.
Cinnamon?
No, this product, Optimetabolics.
Oh, Optimetabolics, because I've had that from time to time, hypoglycemic, where I sort of feel like I run out of energy and then start to get a headache and then eat something and suddenly I'm back up again here.
Yeah. So
I got lots of problems.
Optimetabolics. We'll put that link on the site.
Optimetabolic. And it's what? Just like a supplement? It's just a pill you pop or something?
No, it's a shake. It's a shake. It's a protein powder shake.
Oh,
but
okay.
It's a vegetarian-based protein powder, so it's not whey. I don't like people overdoing whey all day long.
No way.
No way. I like it post-workout, but unless you're trying to put size on.
What do you put in the shake? You just put the powder in and water and whip it up, or do you put other stuff in it? You put fruit juice or something? No, fruit again. There we go.
Just put water in it, shake it up.
Yeah, just put water in, shake it up, and it's golden. It actually tastes really good. I like the vanilla-flavored one.
Okay.
I've never had anybody complain about the taste. They all seem to like it.
I'm going to have to try. That one you may get me to try here. There you go.
Yeah.
We may actually get somewhere here.
Yeah, Optimetabolics.
Get some.
All right. A minute or two left here. We whipped right through all this stuff here today. No, you're
want
shocked.
To talk anything about insulin sensitivity in general and maybe how to eat to is there specific ways to train to increase
or
insulin
sensitivity? Or should we move that? Is that too big a topic? Should we just move that to next week?
We can kind of cover it.
All right.
We got to get better at
time management.
It's the big bulk thing we're going to talk about. Yeah, we've got to cut out.
Yeah, we've got 2 minutes to deal with the main topic.
two minutes to save
Tell
your life.
Tell us all about insulin. So insulin in the endocrinology world, it is the driver. The endocrine system's main role is to drive energy to the brain, the heart, and the muscles. And that's insulin's job. So if insulin's out of whack, everything else is out of whack. Your thyroid, your testosterone, all your sex hormones, leptin, even leptin becomes out of control. All these things that are driving
metabolism. Is that that hormone that tells you that you're full or whatever?
Full or hungry, yeah, that's the big one. So they're all driven by that. So if insulin's out of whack, everything's out of whack. So that's why it's a big deal. If you are carrying body fat, you're not insulin sensitive enough, you have to start there. In our opinion, if you want to get good fat loss results, you want the brain to start functioning better, and you want your hormones to escalate, because when insulin's high, all your other hormones are low. So that's why we start there and we put so much emphasis on it. The other reason we like to focus on it is because if you eat carbs at the wrong time, get an insulin spike at the wrong time, it's going to make you lazy and tired. It releases the wrong neurotransmitters of the brain, serotonin, GABA. It makes you want to fall asleep.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't want that. If you're a high performer, you want to have good energy all day long. After breakfast, after lunch, you should be heightened, not tired. And then at night is when you want to have those insulin rises and crashes. So from a high performance standpoint, that's why we, unless you're incredibly lean and you need carbs, that's 7% of society. I had one guy in all the talks I've done this last, out of the last 30 talks, I've had one guy that we figured out in the talk, he was insulin sensitive. He was a carb type. He needed carbohydrates. If you gave him protein and fats for breakfast, he was hungry within an hour and a half.
Wow.
Now, how does that fit into this fact that the whole world there's getting heavier, and therefore there's more onset of diabetes? More people are getting it, and they're getting it at an early age, and therefore having to inject insulin because their body will not, doesn't produce enough insulin, and therefore won't break down all this sugar that they've got.
Yeah, that's more the genetic type. That's more the type 1 diabetes. You're kind of born with it. There's not a whole lot you can do with that. But the other realm, the type 2 diabetes, is lifestyle and diet that are driving them into that.
Right.
So they're having to take things like metformin, basically allowing glucose uptake into the muscle cells. Because basically, insulin's there, it's knocking, and the muscles, everything, the cells are saying, sorry, we're not home, we don't want you. So now glucose is building up bloodstream. So things like metformin are driving into the cells.
Does that eventually make your pancreas peter out as it's trying to...
Make sure Peter
if,
what?
If you're if, like anything, if you have a really high carb diet and all day long your pancreas is just jamming insulin into the system, yeah, eventually it's going to peter out and falter. And then that's a case where, yeah, you're going to need insulin because now your body can't produce its own.
Gotcha.
But early on, the biggest thing to do before you become insulin resistant is to lift weights. Increasing muscle mass enhances insulin sensitivity. That's why we can use carbs after people have worked out, because it helps the body use glucose, upregulate glucose. That's why we, you know, only have carbs later in the day. We don't have them all day long because we want insulin to be low all day until we want to start relaxing people. So high fat, high protein diets help enhance the membrane of the cell. So that's very important to know what your insulin levels look like. I'm sorry, mostly your fasting blood glucose levels and your A1C levels in your labs. Those are the two big ones. In my opinion, fasting blood glucose should be under 90. Your A1C levels should be 5.6 or lower. If you're looking at optimizing performance,
those would be great statistics. Again, you rattle those off so quickly to put in your show notes afterwards, because people more and more are being told that they're borderline diabetic because of their lifestyle, because of the crap we eat. Well documented, the rise in that, you say, type 2 diabetes.
Yeah.
And therefore, people have no idea of what they should be at. They don't even know what an insulin level should be at.
Yeah.
Would their MD also agree with that same level?
I don't know. Most MDs say you got to be under 100 and you got to be under 5.9. And that, in my opinion, is barely cutting it. I'm talking high-performing people.
Uh-huh.
If you want to be high-performing, you want to have a really good functioning system, you want to be really focused, you want your blood sugar to be very stable, you want to get the most out of life, I think you need to be below 90 or below, you know, around 5.6, 5.5 or less. And that's my personal opinion. That's what we've seen with our high-performing people, the ones that are performing the best, feeling the best, getting the most out of life. That's closer to where their numbers are.
And do you recommend that people do get, like, a blood test once a year? And
yeah,
get
I think
a,
it's very smart. You should know what's going on.
And understand what these numbers are supposed to be when they come back?
Uh-huh. Okay. I think that's something everybody should be educated on. Because just because you're in the normal range, the average normal American is sick.
Yeah.
So if you say you're normal...
I'm feeling sick just thinking about all this.
Yeah, if it comes back, your doctor says you're normal, well, awesome. Now you know you're the normal sick person. So we don't want normal, we want optimized.
Extraordinary.
Yeah. And another great clue on a blood work that you're eating too many carbohydrates is your triglyceride levels will be high. Triglyceride levels should be under 100.
Isn't that a measure of how much fat you have circulating in your blood?
You will have fat circulating. I should be able to explain this very better, but no, it is. But it's elevated when you have a high carbohydrate diet because the body's not metabolizing fat, so it's just. I think
you should do a show or a segment on blood work, and you should.
Yeah, that would
you
be
should
cool.
Break down. All right, here's the typical things you get back in your blood results. Now, what am I looking at?
Yeah,
and here's what they will say is normal. and here's where you recommend that they get if they want to get abnormal, if they want to get better than normal.
We'll call it optimized.
Abnormal. Yeah, if they want to get better than
normal. I like that word.
Okay.
That'd be great. We just need to know.
Because that's something people can obviously get pretty easy. They do as you get older. I'm in my 50s. They recommend every year get, you know, some blood work up, and that's hopefully how they catch other things early.
I don't like to go more than 6 months without it.
Really?
Okay. Yeah.
Wow.
But is it safe to say, though, that if you think you're too fat, you may have a blood or an insulin sensitivity issue?
If you're carrying fat around your stomach, like your stomach and your love handles, definitely there's an insulin issue. Majority of time, overfatness is caused by a hormonal disruption with insulin. It is not caused by calories in versus calories out. What you eat creates different hormonal responses. So if you're having a bunch of carbs and releasing a bunch of insulin, you're telling the body to store things.
Is that why some people, even if they starve themselves, can't lose weight? You know, you see people all the time who are heavy, and they say, oh, I'm on this crash diet, and I only lost 2 pounds or something here. You know?
Yeah, that's scary. That's...
You mean 500 calories of Chubby Hubby by Ben & Jerry's is not the same as 500 calories of a grass-fed ribeye?
Yeah, if you don't believe me, try it.
I have.
Me too.
It creates two different hormonal responses. It's unbelievable how different.
It seems pretty logical.
It won't make a difference the first day, but if you do it every day for the next 3 years, you're going to have two completely, totally different outcomes.
You talk about ice cream. I went to hear a talk from John Robbins, who's this guru in the vegan movement. And he inherited his fortune from Baskin-Robbins ice cream. And as he grew older, he rejected the whole thing and basically got kicked out of the family. Didn't throw the money away. But he he has become, he believes that ice cream is just a deadly thing. He said his dad died of heart disease.
It is deadly thing. It's awesome.
It's wonderful. I love it. Yeah. It's one of those deadly sins. Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Well,
I'd
like to see a segment where you guys could really break that down, because that could be something really elementary that a lot of people could instantly get a hold of. They're going and getting blood tests done as their doctors as they get older, and they have no clue what this is. It's just a series of numbers, and the guy says, and at the end it says, here's the typical range, and you go, oh, okay, I'm within a point or two, I'm good. And you're saying, yeah, that just means you're sick like the rest of the people.
It means you're the average sick person.
Average sick person. So I think that'd be...
That sounds good.
I vote for that.
If you want to live naked, you got to be optimized.
That's right. Okay. All right. Final thoughts as we come to the last minute here.
That's it. You can find more information at www.starktraining.com. We'll have the show notes posted on the show. And a bunch of links as well.
And I might even try that. What was that shake?
Optimetabolics.
Optimetabolics. I might try that. Okay. All right. All right. You heard it here first. Optimetabolics right there. It's all part of getting stark naked and feeling good on Stark Naked Radio.